Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found in the Psalm of the day, Psalm 128. A song of the ascents. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, everyone who is walking in his ways. Yes, you will eat the food you worked for. How blessed you are. It will go well for you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine in the inner rooms of your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Look, this is how blessed the man is who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, so that you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life, and you see your children's children. Peace be on Israel. This is our text. Dear people of God, Psalm 128 is a psalm of ascent. That means that it is one of the many psalms that the Jews would use as they sung their way on their travels up to the city of Jerusalem for one of the festivals. And it was always up to Jerusalem. We use up for going north, especially here. Michigan's Upper Peninsula is literally called the UP. If you go to the Upper Peninsula, you are going up. That's how we view north. Now, the Jews didn't view north in such a way of directions on the map. They viewed up more like directions in a dimension, going up. See, the city of Jerusalem, the city of David, was built on a mountain for defensive purposes. Therefore, whenever you went to Jerusalem, no matter what direction you came from, you always went up the mountain. This idea then developed in their culture so that they always went up. They always ascended to Jerusalem. And you can develop that idea even more with the idea that we go up to heaven. So you can use these psalms not just when you're walking on a road to Jerusalem, but you can use them anytime that you have a desire to get out of this world and go up, to go home to heaven. In Jesus' name. So as the Jews walked up the mountain, they sang these short psalms here at the end of the book of Psalms, these psalms of ascent. Now there are 15 of these psalms of ascent from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. Our Psalm 128 is in the middle of these psalms of ascent. And this psalm has a lot to do with family. And that makes a lot of sense. For as these people were traveling to Jerusalem for the festival, they always went with their whole extended family. So it was a good time on that road as they were walking to look around and to count the blessings that the Lord had given them and thank the Lord for them. Now it's always a good time to count blessings. At this time of the year in America, we are told to count our blessings, but we Christians do it all the time. If you have a family, thank the Lord for them. If verse 3 applies to you, then understand that the Lord gave you this gift. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine in the inner rooms of your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. If you have a job and are able to work, then the Lord gives you the blessing of verse 2. Yes, you will eat the food you work for. How blessed you are. It will go well for you. Remember that there are a lot of people who can't work, physically can't. If you can, then the Lord has given you a great blessing, even though very few people thank the Lord for going to their jobs. If you did work and are now done with that part of your life, then the Lord has given you the blessing of verse 5. May the Lord bless you from Zion, so that you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. There's nothing wrong with retiring from a lifetime of working to provide for your family and then enjoying the blessings that the Lord has given you. But then you need to remember to stop and acknowledge that it is the Lord who has given you that blessing. And if you've made it this far in life and endured all the trials and still have your faith in Jesus intact, well, then you have the gift of verses both 1 and 4. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, everyone who is walking in his ways. And look, this is how blessed the man is who fears the Lord. Now, not everyone has the same blessings. In fact, there are no two people who have exactly the same gifts and blessings from the Lord. Those with a big family might not have a lot of money. Those who have a lot of money might not have a job that they love. Those that have a job that they love might not be able to retire. Everybody is in a different situation. And in Christian love, we are to see that and understand that and not judge each other for their choices. However, many times we give up the blessings that the Lord has laid on our doorstep. And here, every time this happens, it is a result of sin. Sometimes it's the result of other people's sin, how they sinned against us, but most of the time, it's just the result of my own old sinful mess ups. Everything could be better in this world. Our church, our school, my family, our county, our country, the world. Everything could be better if we had just made better choices. If I had been a better pastor, father, husband, employee, child, a better steward of what the Lord had given me. If I had just been a better person, then things could be a lot better. But I wasn't. We weren't. There are so many regrets. There are so many ways to look back and say, if I just had done it differently. But that then leads to finding faults in other people and their choices. It leads to a lot of complaining and backbiting. It leads to gossip and just plain cursing. And all of that is just a waste of time and just plain sin. Instead of complaining and regretting, a much better exercise is blessing counting. To turn around and look for the ways when things went right. When the Lord gave us a blessing in spite of our sins and failures. Much better than counting offenses is repenting. Lord, forgive me for what I've done, because I certainly have not done everything perfectly. Lord, forgive me for what I am, for what my makeup is, because I am nothing but sin and selfishness on the inside. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And we know what the Lord does when we repent to him. The Lord loves it when we repent, and he is very quick to forgive. He opens his forgiving arms and he waits for you to come running to him and jump into his arms and to find peace there, to find comfort in the forgiveness of his son, Jesus Christ, and the life he laid down for you upon the cross, and the life he took up again in the resurrection on the third day that he promises also to you. All of this can be categorized as the fear of the Lord. Now, the fear of the Lord can be a tricky concept. Luther taught us to say this already in the first commandment. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. But I remember having a teacher who told me very quickly not to fear the Lord, that I shouldn't be afraid of him. He's not some kind of a boogeyman or a vengeful incubus who is plotting to get us if we just step out of line once. And that's true, you shouldn't be afraid of the Lord. But we can't just throw away this word fear. Because all over the Bible it says, fear the Lord. We had a lesson in our gospel reading today about servants who were serving their master. They had a healthy fear of the master. They realized that he was not messing around and therefore they better be doing their jobs. See, wouldn't the world be a much better place if people had a healthy fear of the Lord? If people realized that he wasn't messing around in his word, if people realize that they should listen to him? It amazes me how many people will do things the exact opposite way of the Lord telling them, and then they will have the guts to complain that the Lord is not blessing them or that things aren't going the way they want them to go. We need more fear of the Lord around us. So fear does mean fear. But the idea of fear of the Lord is bigger than that even. Malachi, the prophet Malachi, in the last chapter of the whole Old Testament, wrote this. Look, the day is coming, burning like a blast furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise, and there will be healing in its wings. You will go out and jump around like calves from the stall. The fear of the Lord in Malachi has in it the idea of those who acknowledge the Lord, those who listen to the Lord, those who believe in the Lord, those who see the Lord as their only Savior, and those who are saved. All of that is in there. The best definition that I have found for the fear of the Lord is awe. To look at God, to consider what he is, what a great God he is, what great things he has done, what great things he could do. He could destroy all of us if he wanted to, and he will destroy those who oppose him. To realize that he is the maker, to realize that he is the only Savior available, and a Savior who reaches down to us to save us by having his own Son sacrificed upon that terrible cross for us. The fear of the Lord is to look at that God and say, wow, what a God. I want to be on his side. I want to hear what he has to say. I want to hide in him. I want to be his child forever and ever. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, everyone who is walking in his ways. By God's grace, that is what we are. And that is also what we want to be. We strive to walk in the ways of the Lord, not my ways. Our ways are sinful and they are selfish and they lead into dark places. But God's ways, the way of serving, the way of helping, the way of lifting others up, the way of the cross, of course, that is the way of giving myself to others. Not for my benefit, but for their benefit. The psalmist here says that those of you who fear the Lord and walk in his ways have his blessing. You are the blessed people of God. Count your blessings and fear the Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.